This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
In a world racked by expanding imperial wars, recent developments in South America have been a source of optimism for those concerned with social justice. South America itself has been emerging from years of brutal military dictatorships, dictatorships supported by Washington to block efforts at democratic change. But then there was the 2002 attempted military coup in Venezuela, in which Washington played its traditional role. And in June this year, there was the coup in Honduras, which endures in the face of major popular resistance. To discuss the U.S. hand in the Honduran coup and its significance for the South American continent as a whole, I'm joined by Con Hallinan. He is an analyst for the publication Foreign Policy in Focus and the former director of the Journalism School at the University of California in Santa Cruz, which is where we have reached him. Good morning, Con, and welcome to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Why was the elected Honduran president Manuel Zelaya the target of a coup?
Well, there were a number of reasons, but I think that the two most important reasons is internally, this guy is not a radical or anything like that. He's basically started out as a conservative and then sort of got to be a liberal reformer. And what he did do was that he raised the minimum wage. And Honduras is a very low-wage area and a giant sweatshop, basically. And a lot of American corporations use Honduras because of the low wages, so they were not very happy about that. I think the thing that kicked it off, if there's a particular, a trigger for the coup, is that this has to do with telecommunications industry. And there's been a lot of pressure on the Hondurans to privatize the public access, to the radio waves. And there's a company called Hondutel, which is a publicly owned company, and it's been the target of attacks by the International Republican Institute, which John McCain is a major supporter of, and it's associated very closely with AT&T and Qualcomm and a lot of other U.S. and international telecommunications corporations that want to privatize the Hondutel. So there were a number of reasons. Most of them having to do with the fact that I think most people don't really know much about Honduras, and it's really not on anybody's radar screen. It's a country, it's one of the poorest countries in Latin America. Only Haiti and Bolivia are poor. There's a tremendous gap between rich and poor. And traditionally, it has been a kind of a aircraft carrier for the United States. It was the place where the U.S. launched its attack on Nicaragua in the Contra Wars in the 1980s, and we have a large base in Honduras, one of the few bases that we have remaining in Latin America. So there are a lot of irons in the fire and a lot of reasons, both internal and external, as to why this coup happened.
Now, you identified some of the U.S. fingerprints on the coup. You mentioned Republican Institute. You mentioned John McCain. Could you detail a bit more why the U.S., what U.S. agencies or what U.S. Networks were important in this coup?
Well, the two most official ones, actually there are three, but the two most official ones are the National Endowment for Democracy, which is funded by the U.S. Congress, and the United States Agency for International Development. And those two organizations poured a lot of money and training into the two groups that are really behind the coup, that is the Peace and Democracy Movement and the Civil Democratic Union. So on really a kind of official level, I'm not saying this is CIA. I don't think the CIA was directly involved, but there are a lot of official American institutions who were involved at least with the coup plotters. Now, besides that, as I said, there are these corporations, the International Republican Institute, and individuals, Otto Reich, who was been a major supporter of the coup, is former Assistant Secretary of State during the Bush administration, was convicted for misusing taxpayers' funds during the Contra War in the 1980s by putting out propaganda on the side of the Contras using taxpayers' money. Long-time right-wingers, a Cuban refugee, etc. And another guy by the name of Robert Carmona Bojas. And Carmona was part of the coup against that you mentioned against Hugo Chavez in April 2002. In fact, the sort of anti-democratic laws that were drawn up to prevent try and stop the counter-coup were called the Carmona Decrees, and they were draconian. And he had to flee after that, after the coup collapsed and Hugo Chavez came back into power, and fled to Washington, and has been a major mover and in the Honduran supporter of the Honduran coup. But there are other people too. You know, there are people like Lanny Davis, who I don't know if people remember Lanny Davis, but he was one of the defenders of Clinton during the impeachment trials and was very close to Hillary Clinton during her run for the presidency, unsuccessful run for the presidency. He's a major supporter of the coup and is doing PR work and things. So there are all these kind of levels that also go back to the School for the Americas, the soldiers that arrested Zedalia and sent him to Costa Rica were trained by the School for the Americas. So in a lot of ways, on a lot of different levels, from individual kind of old Cold War warriors to formal institutions of the U.S. government, Americans have their fingerprints all over this coup.
While all the governments in Latin America have called for the coup to be reversed, the one government that could achieve that, the United States, it seems to me, has been remarkably soft-spoken and gentle, including Obama himself. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And you know, in fact, I'll give you two examples. At one point, Zelaya went to the border of Honduras and kind of stepped across the border and then, you know, stepped back and had a encampment and stuff. And Hillary Clinton denounced it as a provocation and has said nothing about the fact that Amnesty International, a lot of other organizations, human rights organizations, say that the situation in Honduras is horrible, and people have been killed, and they're being arrested, and they're disappeared, and they're being beaten, and everything. Not a word out of the State Department. The other thing is that while some aid was cut, the Millennium Challenge Corporation, which is a formal government aid organization, which with a strong tilt in the direction of free markets, the Millennium Challenge Corporation is continuing to send aid to Honduras. Now, when there was a military coup in Madagascar and a military coup in Mauritania, the Millennium Challenge Corporation immediately shut down the aid. In fact, they shut down the aid, and still are shutting down the aid, to Nicaragua, where there was no military coup, but there were charges that there were irregularities in the last election that put Daniel Ortega into the presidency. So here you have two military coups. They shut it down, charges of electoral, irregularities. They shut it down, and they haven't shut down the money to Honduras. I think it sends a message, at least to the coup, the people who pulled off the coup, that, kind of a wink and a nod. The Republicans are quite openly about it. The Republicans in the Congress have supported the coup 100% and said this is to stop a Chavez-like dictatorship from taking over Honduras, which is absolutely absurd.
Well, following that pattern of the wink and the nod, after the Honduran coup, the U.S. has been expanding its direct military presence in Latin America. I'm wondering if you could give us a sense of what's happening more broadly on the continent.
Well, there are two specific events that are important here. One of them happened kind of quietly, and it made, if you excuse the the pun, some waves, because it has to do with the demothballing of the U.S. Fourth Fleet in Latin America. The Fourth Fleet was originally a kind of a Cold War fleet that's responsibility was of Latin America, and it was mothballed in the 60s, and now they've revived it. Now, that has caused a good deal of unrest, because in the case of Brazil particularly, you know, they have these giant oil reserves that are 100 miles off at sea, and so the Brazilians are saying, well, you know, why are you doing this? And, you know, the U.S. says, well, we're just doing it to interdict drugs, only you don't interdict drugs with aircraft carriers and heavy cruisers. So they're concerned about this activation of the Fourth Fleet. The thing that's the real thorn in the side was that the U.S. and Colombia is in the process of finalizing an agreement that will give the United States access to 7 bases in Colombia. And not only does it give them access to the bases, but the part of the agreement is that the United States is going to aid Colombia with their struggle against terrorism. Well, they describe the current the largest of the insurgent organizations, the FARC, in Latin America, is considered a terrorist organization, the Revolutionary Forces of Colombia. So it suddenly means that the United States is going to get involved in the civil war in Colombia on the side of the Colombian government. Latin Americans are not happy with that. They have kept a distance from that situation. Not that they support FARC, which is a troublesome organization on a lot of different levels, but in any case, they're not going to involve themselves in the civil war. Well, here's the United States directly engaging, giving intelligence materials to the Colombian military to attack the FARC. And the Colombian military is, talk about a troublesome organization, you know, they were just found guilty of, they go out in the countryside and they kidnap young Colombians and dress them up in FARC uniforms and then murder them and then use them as body counts. And, you know, this isn't popular myth. This has been proven. The United Nations has done an investigation of it. So, you know, here we are lying down with dogs. We're going to come up with fleas on this one.
Where is the U.S. heading then in terms of its strategy for Latin America?
Well, that's a very good question. And I think what's happened is, you know, during the Bush administration, there was a lot of unilateralism. And also, the Bush administration didn't pay a whole lot of attention to Latin America, because they were focused on Iraq. And now suddenly the Americans have realized, gee, you know, while we weren't looking, so suddenly Latin America became really an independent place on the globe. The Mercosur is the third largest trade organization on the planet. There is now an organization that includes all 12 members of the countries of South America that meets kind of sort of like a European Union, not quite that formal, but it was that group that got together and denounced the bases in Colombia. So I think the U.S. is beginning to think about remilitarizing its relationships with the continent. How far that's going to go, I don't know. And I think that very much depends on what Americans allow to happen. I'm somewhat surprised that there's been this kind of quiet about the fact that the Obama administration is doing so little about the coup in Honduras, essentially, you know, in a backward kind of way, backhanded kind of way, giving it a green light. I think what will happen is that the U.S. would like to reassert itself, a la the Monroe Doctrine, in Latin America. I don't think they can go back to the old way, but they can make a lot of trouble. And certainly the idea of not being firm against coups is that's not a precedent that you want to let stand.
Well, thanks a lot, Con, for joining us this morning with that detail and the overview. It's much appreciated.
Thanks for having me on.
I've been speaking with Con Hallinan. He's an analyst for the publication Foreign Policy in Focus. He's the former director of the Journalism School at the University of California in Santa Cruz. And for a link to Con Hallinan's writing, you can go to the website of Foreign Policy in Focus, click on Content, and check under H, H for Hallinan. Or you can go to our website, cooperadio.org/redeye, click on Current Program for August 29th, and you'll find a link there as well.